Welcome to Module 9, Owning and Training Racing Animals. How do you establish yourself as a trainer? Well, most people do it from the ground up. They've been raised in the business. They started out either with their family or as a groom for someone else. And they could be from a small-time stable or an apprentice for a big-time person. For example, one of the more famous graduates of the racetrack industry program is Bob Baffert. Bob's family raised quarter horses in a little town of Nogales, Arizona, right along the Mexican border, and Bob spent a lot of his time pushing cows, running match races, breaking colts, and even as a jockey for a short time in the paramutual racing circuit. He learned it from the ground up and made it to the big time. Others start as an assistant for a well-known trainer and apprentice under them and then move on to them to their own operation. All trainers that train horses at all paramutual races in every state must take an examination. So there is a trainer's test that must be taken by everyone. Certainly the difficulty of this exam varies from state to state because it is not a federally based exam. It is created by the state. There is an example of trainer's test questions provided for you. Once you pass the test, you can hang out your shingle. Some people are public trainers, some are private trainers. A public trainer works for day money, and that is what he charges each of his clients, plus a percentage of the purse money earned. The traditional percentage is 10%. A private trainer will work for a farm and work on a salary and whatever other provisions are provided for by that farm and between the farm and that trainer. There are very few private trainers anymore, as there are just not enough farms that have enough size that they can support a private trainer. The very good trainers probably do make more money training publicly and having a number of very wealthy owners rather than just one. What makes a good trainer? Well, there's any number of things that must go into the equation, and not one is more important than the others. Some trainers are very good to be able to switch their training methods to match any type of horse. Others are very good with one kind of horse and don't do well with the others. They need horses that mold to their system. Training racehorses is not like training a rope horse or a show horse. They don't train them in the literal sense as far as get on and teach them skills. No, there's a whole lot more to being a racehorse trainer. Basically, you're the physician. You oversee their health and you monitor their health. You're their trainer. You're the one who sees how they work out at the gym. And it's a horse. See how they work out at the racetrack. How long, how fast, how often. You're also the nutritionist. You will be the person who determines the type and amount of feed that best suits that horse. Some horses are very high strung. Others aren't high strung at all. And you can really change their demeanor by the type of feed that you give them. You're an equipment manager. You really need to figure out what that horse likes the best. Does he work best in blinkers? Does he need a D-bit? Does he need a ring bit? Is he easy to control? Is he hard to control? You can certainly affect the way the horse performs by a change of equipment. You're a psychologist. You need to keep the horse happy. You need to keep the horse wanting to do his job. No one can make a horse run that doesn't want to run. That's probably the biggest thing. Horse trainers that are excellent can get inside a horse's head and figure out what makes that horse the happiest that allows him to do his job the best. You're also a career counselor. You have to find the right place for that horse to compete. It might be determining what rank, what level. Is he an allowance horse? Is he a stake horse? Or is this a horse that can compete on the Southern California circuit? or does it really need to find its way at a smaller track in a smaller market? You're also a talent scout. Even horses that have long racing careers still retire at some point, and you need to have new horses coming in, new recruits in the barn. So these trainers are also the ones who will go to two-year-old in training sales, yearling sales, and sometimes even sales for weanlings, and try to find tomorrow's superstars. You also have to be the PR director when it comes to the owners. You are the person who has to communicate with them and let them know what's going on with their investment. This is a skill that was sorely overlooked in days gone by, but really is a huge part of the trainer's responsibility, or at least the stable's responsibility. Now, many of these trainers have people who deal just with getting information out to their owners. And don't forget, in a public stable, you are the CEO and the CFO. You have to make the dollars and you have to make the bottom line work. What's the average price of a racehorse? Well, be free. Could be millions. There have been $8-10 million paid for racehorses. The higher prices are certainly paid for horses that are already competing, or at least already in training, and you know what you're getting. One great horse that was a winner at the racetrack and is now doing very well at stud is Silver Charm, a relatively inexpensive horse. His price was $17,000. So being the most expensive doesn't mean that you'll be the best. There have been some very high-priced horses that either never made it to the races or failed miserably. How do you get into ownership? And I will remind you that all of these ways can be done individually or as a partnership, sharing the risk of multiple horses over multiple people. Or if you'd rather do it on your own, higher risk generally means higher reward. You can do this yourself. The current trend now is to have one horse owned by more than one person. Again, the sharing the risk and sharing the expenses is a much easier way to be in the horse business. There are three real distinct ways to get into racehorse ownership: buy privately or buy at a sale. So basically you see what you're going to get. There are sales where you can buy weanling horses. They're less than a year old, yearlings. They're almost two, or the two-year-old sales. Those are horses already in training. You can start to see their skill level before you buy. As they age, you can expect to pay more money. The more knowledge you have of their potential skills, the more money you'll expect to pay, but also you are reducing your risk. But knowledge is expensive. The same horse that you buy as a weanling, because he's very young and you don't know what he'll grow up to look like, could turn out to be the ugly duckling. You didn't pay much for him as a weanling and he was a superstar as a yearling or two-year-old. There are some horses who never look better than they do as a weanling, and you've bought the potential and the promise that never was delivered. The more you know, the more it costs. So you have to determine at what level are you comfortable taking risk. Another way to get into horse ownership is breed one yourself. You have a mare, you choose the mare, you choose the stallion, you get your mare bred, you wait. Gestation is 11 months for horses. But there is great satisfaction, along with the great expense, if you do play the genetics game and you like to play the puzzles and you find which mare you think will cross with which stallion, and you get that foal safely on the ground and you raise it and get to the races. There is no greater satisfaction, and many people do choose to play the genetics game. The third way is the quickest way and the one with the least risk, and that's claiming. Basically, You shop for one. The store is always open. Remember, 70% of the races offered in this country are claiming races. From $1,000 to $100,000, there are many horses for sale every day at every racetrack. And if you claim a horse, and the horse is healthy upon finishing that race that you claimed him out of, you may enter him back in 2 weeks. You could go from being horseless to having a horse in a race on the track within a couple of weeks. You do pretty much know what you are getting. These horses have established their level of ability. And so you're reducing the risk that the horse will be a total flop as a racehorse. But you also pretty much have determined the upper limits of that horse's talent, for the most part. It's not like buying at auction or breeding one where you may have tomorrow's superstar. There are horses, though, that when they've been claimed, a trainer has looked at that horse and said, I don't think the old trainer really got into that horse's head. I can do better. And you can improve the horse. There are examples of horses that moved from being allowance and stake horses down to find their level as claimers. And a very famous horse named Charismatic, who was running and claiming races, who came along and almost won the Triple Crown. But those are exceptions rather than the rule. But if you claim a good solid claiming horse and you pay $30,000 or $50,000 or even $12,000, at least you know you have a horse that's competent to participate at that level. Now that you have your horse, how much does it cost to keep a racehorse? Some of those exact figures are provided for you. But you can figure out what this will cost you if you figure in the trainer's day rate. Generally, when you are being priced a cost for training a racehorse, it is not by the month or by the year. A trainer will say, I charge X number of dollars per day. In this, you will be able to use, your horse uses the trainer's tack and equipment for thoroughbreds. It's different in the harness. The trainer pays for the grooms, the assistant trainers, the hot walkers. This is included. He will pay for insurance or pay for feed for your horse, and the trainer is responsible for insurance for his employees. So you are paying for some tangible things along with the trainer's expertise. What additional things might the owner be responsible for in addition to the day rate? Well, you certainly own a percentage, if you are lucky enough to win purses, to the rider, to the trainer, and more often than not, also to the groom of your horse. Vet bills are on top of your day rate. Farrier bills. Insurance for that horse itself is extra. Any cost of shipping, or if you're lucky enough to have a stake horse, the payments into the stakes races are borne by the owner. Sometimes the cost is not as big an issue as the return, the size of the purses. There's also an example in your website of the cost, the average cost of the training or the day rate at a racetrack, and this average size of the purse. Many astute owners find the racetracks that have the best relationship for them, where the cost of training is low as compared to the amount of purses that horse has the potential to win.